Good morning. Our technicians have some problems. Happy Mother's Day. First Samuel. One. There are so many great stories in the Bible. This is one of them. It's the short story of the life of a woman named Hannah. She was a good mother. What constitutes a good mother? What are the characteristics? What should mark a mother's character? Well, she should be virtuous, strong, faithful, caring, kind, helpful. All these are certainly qualities of a good mother. To be a good mother is to have the grace to give even though your supply has run out. A good mother says, I'm not hungry when there's one piece of pie left. Be a good mother is to love unconditionally. Is to love even when you've been hurt, forgotten, or taken advantage of. To be a good mother is to know the difference between having a child raising a child. To be a good mother is to example godliness in your life to the children God's given you. These things really are marks of the life of a good mother. In our text, they are examples. How are they to be accomplished? In our text, we're given the answer. 1 Samuel 1, 9 through 16, we won't read it all, is the story of Hannah. There are four players in this story. Elkanah, the husband, I would say he's a good man, a godly man. He had two wives. Now, I'm not a judge, but that to me is problematic. One's enough. You know, I don't want to chase a rabbit, but Solomon was the wisest man in the world, but he goofed in that area. Good night, I don't know how he did what he did. Husband of Elkanah, two wives. Peninnah, who seemed to be an antagonist, critical. She had children. His second wife's name was Hannah. The Bible tells us she was barren. She had no children. There's one individual also involved in this story, Eli, the high priest. Elkanah went up every year to worship God in a city called Shiloh. It's interesting to me that Shiloh means the place of tranquility or the place where it will bring peace, tranquility and peace. It's interesting to me because you'll see that Hannah had anything but tranquility and peace. She had none. But she went to that same spot and found them both. Isn't that wonderful? She was without children. She was mocked by the other wife, Penina. Awful. Caused great hurt, anxiety, heaviness in the life of Hannah. She was crushed by her barrenness. That's so unlike 21st century America. Women today, so many are not at all bothered by the fact that they don't have children. In fact, they don't want to have children. In fact, if they happen to get pregnant, they end the life of that child. I've never been able to understand my mind. The thought of a woman who becomes pregnant taking the life of that baby. I've never been able to understand that. I know it's sin. It's interesting to me that a mother and a husband who get pregnant and have a child, or going to have a child, they get a ultrasound. The ultrasound is a picture of the baby in the womb. And they will throw a party. They will have quite a thing. Just reveling in the fact that she's pregnant and you can see the baby there. That's the purpose of the ultrasound. And yet, other women see that baby not as a baby at all, but a piece of unwanted tissue that they choose not to have because they have the right, they say, over their body, but they forget the right of the baby. Hannah was crushed by barrenness. And I think there's one more thing about Hannah. She was in deep need. How does this woman, Hannah, declare? Show to us the picture of a good mother. Well, let me give it to you very quickly. Number one, Hannah declares this picture of a good mother by showing us her life of prayer. Hannah prayed. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, "And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." This was no average prayer time for Hannah. She went up to Shiloh. fell on her face before the altar and prayed to God and wept. Her heart was heavy. She prayed with deep concern for a child. Lord, give me a child. She was distraught in the thought of going another year without having a baby, hearing all of the negativeness. Because back then, it was a privilege to have a baby. I wonder how we, our mothers do. I know my mother prayed a great deal. She had three boys. One was a pill. Not the kind you swallow, the kind you don't want to swallow. He was ornery, break your heart every other day. There she was praying, pouring over the hurt she felt because of a son that was wayward. Thank God for praying. Mothers ought to pray for their children's welfare. Mothers ought to pray for their children's protection. Mothers ought to pray for their children's salvation. Mothers ought to pray for their children's moral goodness. Mothers ought to pray for their friendships that their children choose. They ought to pray for their children's life partner. All those things would be undertaken by a mother who prayed. Because the value of the child is enormous. The effect of their life is enormous. That pill my mother prayed for, name was Leonard. And the Lord somehow, some way, saved his rotten soul and brought him to Christ and made him a preacher. There are a lot of better things he could have chosen for me to do, I thought. But Hannah prayed. She prayed with heaviness. She wept sore. She prayed in brokenness, verse 10. When children face hurt and heartache, that's not the time to be critical. That's the time to pray. Hold their hand. Weep with them. Cry when they hurt. When they're in great need, isn't the time to tell them to buck up, though they should. It's the time to just stand up. Try to be the help any way you can. When they fail or fall, we're to handle it, though we may be broken. the brokenness in love, not anger. Your children should never fear coming to you. Her prayer was with heaviness, her prayer was in brokenness, she wept sore. Her prayer was with promise on God's being said. Bible says Hannah prayed and made a vow to the Lord. Now a vow was a sacred commitment. It was given, listen to me, under either an oath or under a judgment. These weren't frivolous things that were made. When a woman made a vow like this, it carried a great deal of responsibility. She made a vow, she promised to raise her child for the glory of God. It was her personal commitment. I don't know how many mothers I've met that look back on their life and regret that they did not do that. They did not raise their child for the glory of God. Wasn't it they? We're trying not to. I don't know, time got away. Things change. But if you miss that, you miss the whole thing. It's not about how much money they're going to make, how big a car they're going to drive, how fancy a home they live in. But did their life glorify God? There's a second thing that Hannah did. Hannah not only prayed, but number two, Hannah showed great piety or commitment, if you please. She decided, no matter what, even though she was in deep sorrow, that she would do all she could to live for God, and if God gave her a child, to example Christ before that child. Look at it down in verse number 10. Really declares her religious life. She was in bitterness of soul, prayed unto the Lord, and then verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, many people went to the temple, prayed. Some were not serious. This woman was serious. She opened her heart to God. She was declaring her religious life. Pattern's an important thing. How you live should be an example of how God wants you to live. And it should be an example to your children of how God wants them to live. That's important. In a religious life, a woman comes to church. In a religious life, a woman gets on her knees before God and prays. In a religious life, a woman opens this book we call the Bible and studies it. in a religious life, a woman takes this Bible and shares it with her children. In a religious life, a woman examples Christ. She declared her commitment. In her religious life, she declared her commitment down in verse 15. Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit." Eli came into the temple and heard her pray and thought she was drunk. She was so distraught, so filled with tears, so weak, so sorrowful, that he mistaken that for drunkenness. And she said, "I'm in bitterness of soul." She was declaring in those few words she had the right kind of moral life. It does no good for a mother or a parent to say to a child, "Don't do as I do, do as I say." That does not ring clear. Because sure as I'm sitting here, if you do something, your child will thrive. What we practice in moderation, listen to this statement. What we practice in moderation, our children will excuse in excess. You say it again. What we practice in moderation, our children will excuse in excess. A moral life is important. Then she said, "Lord, if you will give me a child." I will keep my commitment and give it back to you. She showed her commitment in piety through her religious life, her moral life, and I should say, devotion to God. There's one third thing. She prayed. She showed her piety. And thirdly, Hannah had purpose. Look at verse 11. Now Hannah, in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child." It's interesting we should use the word handmaid. That's a servant. "I'm your servant, Lord. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." You know who she gave birth to? Samuel, one of the greatest prophets ever to walk in shoe leather. Samuel, an incredible man of God. The third thing Hannah had was Hannah had purpose. This verse really paints that picture. To give her child to the Lord. She only had him for a few months and took him to the temple and gave him to the priest to raise and service and live for God. How many mothers would do that? Who spent most of their early so they could raise the child, so they could love the child. And now she gives him away in an act of commitment to God. Show that she was a woman who was a woman of purpose. She wanted all that her child could get, even if it meant giving it away. A mother of purpose will live a life of involvement with her children. All God's people said. I remember when Michael, my son, first started in sports. He was young. Baseball, I recall. He played second base, first base, and caught. He really liked catching. There were some kids that were playing at the same time. They liked catching. They liked catching butterflies. They would go out in the field and the ball might be hit, but they were picking daisies. They weren't committed to the game. But it was a joy to watch. Remember one little boy ran down, stopped halfway down the first base. His shoe was untied. So he stopped, expecting that the game should just shut down until he got his shoe tied and could continue on to first base. And he got his shoe tied and continued on to first base. They threw the ball all over the field. Never did make it to first base. But there's something about being involved in our son's life. Our son played high school basketball. They were fifth in the state, quite a basketball team. We college ball, we went to, I think, probably at least 50 or 60% of his games, and they were way away. Both our daughters would play volleyball, and we watched every game. Our middle daughter was a cheerleader. For some reason, she decided that she was going to play basketball one year. And I can tell you this, she was tough. She wasn't very good, but she was tough. She went up for a rebound one time, and another girl grabbed it. She threw the girl out of bounds. I meant to tell her that you can't do that, but something to watch. Well, a mother gets involved in their children's lives. My wife was involved in our kids' lives. She made a difference in their lives. She made a difference in my life. Hannah lived a life of involvement with her children. That's purpose. Hannah viewed her children as treasures. Little children, the Bible says, are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are never to be viewed as a mistake or a burden or just another mouth to feed. They have value. Hannah had purpose. Hannah wanted to see her children or her child's worth stretched, magnified, and so she led him to the Lord. And let me say this. You all need to do the same thing with your mother. Give your kids back to God. Let God have them. Let God do with them as He pleases. Your kids will be better off in the farthest land from you, in a place where it's difficult at best to live. Serving God and living next to you in a home, making lots of money. There's nothing greater in the world than giving your kids back to God. Hannah was a good mom. Lord, help our mothers to be like Hannah. Father, I didn't say perfect, but good. And Lord, may they see the fruit of their labor, the life of their children that serve you. We pray in Christ.